Welcome to the GoTo Podcast. Each episode covers the brightest and boldest ideas from the world's leading experts in software development. Tune in for practical lessons, compelling theories, and plenty of inspiration. GoTo gathers the brightest minds in the software community to help developers tackle projects today, plan for tomorrow, and create a better future. Stay up to date with the latest in tech through GoTo's top-rated events held online and in person in cities like Amsterdam, London, Copenhagen, and Chicago, and by subscribing to the GoTo Conferences YouTube channel, where you can find thousands more high-quality dev talks. Learn more at gotopia.tech.
Hi, we're here at GoTo Aarhus 2022. I'm sitting here with Lars Kruse and Malte Fugen, two guys I've known for quite a while. They both had a talk at the conference yesterday, and that would lead me already to my first question. After you have like maybe made a short introduction of yourself, and the question would be then, after your talk, you gave your talk yesterday, maybe give a brief sum up of what it was, and then like also from the feedback that you got off the talk, like have you like any thoughts, anything you would like to change or do differently? So Lars, tell us like a few words, please.
Yeah. Well, I think my talk was took offset in my background, which is delivery, continuous delivery, and DevOps. And today, I think I'm at a place where I'm trying to enthusiastically embrace serverless as a concept, and I try to give a kind of a situation on where we are today, and maybe this DevOps and agile. Communities or generations are maybe getting old and should take their learnings and pass them on to the next generations and then an insight into what would those next generations have in what would their claim to fame be and I think it's serverless, it's SaaS products, it's delicious software, it's something else. So basically trying to provoke maybe a bit, but say, Agile is over, done, complete. DevOps is over, done, complete. Mission completed. Let's move on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Malte?
Well, that's interesting because I had a talk about that the mission somehow is not completed. It's about that I think we've done a lot Agile on a team level, mm-hmm. but I think we are missing out on the other levels in an organization. And if we really want to have responsive, agile organizations, I think we need to go further than just think it through on a team level. I think we're missing pieces there. And that was a talk about. And I still feel that we kind of might need to connect management on a team level with management on an organizational level and understand how the pieces fit together. And that probably needs some empathy from both sides. Mm. So that was my talk. Mm. And by the way, my background is that I head of a consulting company, was 100 people. So we do Agile ourselves. So I know all the hurdles about thinking Agile with teams and connecting ideas of different teams, that it comes up with a coherent strategy of all 100 people, and also understand when we consult clients of the different difficulties and the different industries. For example, if you have building cars or if you're building software, sometimes there are similarities between the problems they have and sometimes they're really different. Mm. And that's kind of like my background, building organizations.
Mm. Would that be large organizations or is it,
actually in all general sizes? I think it's really in general. So we have clients who are just 100 people, but we also have the clients which are 100,000 people. Mm. And I think the culture grows more rigid, the larger the organization becomes, and it becomes more difficult, of course, to address culture and the way an organization works, because with 100,000 people, it's kind of like has been established over the last 50 years, and with 100 people, it probably has been established in the last 10 years.
Mm. Okay, but
sounds more fluid, I think, if it's smaller.
Yeah, I've been working with large organizations also for quite, you know, two decades, and it's agile-ish. Although we didn't go specifically into agile, I think we called it, you know, continuous delivery and DevOps. We were more focused on infrastructure and automating that. But still, we my impression after having worked for almost two decades with large organizations is that it's really difficult to take some of these values that we recognize as agile or lean or DevOps and make them scale into these large sized organizations. I find that really hard, and I'm at the brink of actually calling it and saying, okay, we tried it for a long time, but scaled agile doesn't work. What is your take on that?
I'm still thinking if it will work. I totally understand, because the larger the organizations get, I think it becomes more, as I said, rigid or stable, I think, because with 100,000 people, you need to agree on things, yeah, mm. and then it takes more time with 100,000 people to agree on different things. So, mm. of course, they become more stable, mm. and the benefit is maybe that they have broader recognition in the market, so that's the value they get, yeah, but they're maybe not that adaptable to the mm. market. So I think the larger they get, yeah, the responsiveness becomes harder and harder and harder. So I agree that maybe agile is not possible for large organizations, mm. but coming from the teams up, maybe mm. just switching it around, coming from the teams, I think we figure that out somehow for the team level, and I think we also have good answers on a level of where we work with several teams. Let's say it's 100, 120 people. I think for those sizes, we already do have good answers that have proven to work. But and maybe kind of like we think incremental, coming up from, okay, we have understood how it works for a team.
No, I'm thinking. But does that mean that we can actually have, we can have a large organization that could be, you know, thousands of people, and we wouldn't have to talk about scaled agile at all, because we would just have individually agile teams. So agile can work mm-hmm. at a team level, and we wouldn't even have to address the problem of scaling agile, because each individual team would be agile by itself. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that when you put like 10 teams together, mm-hmm. let's just say for now it's 10 teams, yeah, I think when you want that these 10 teams work together on one thing, then need to align somehow. And even if we kind of have independent teams where the base is maybe only the brand or maybe only some common foundations they believe in, maybe it's just a cultural thing or maybe it's just knowledge they share, they mm. still share something mm-hmm. and need to work on that shared knowledge, that shared basis, mm. which I think is still connecting them somehow. Mm.
But how would you, you know, but your experience as a manager in agile teams in, mm-hmm. in plural, do that? Because I would see, and if I would compare that to something that I recognize, I would see that in open source communities, people would also work on the same project, right? But they would be quite detached in one way, because they have the same alignment, they have the same goals, and they're working towards the same, you know, market or product or whatever. But they're actually not that coordinated, right?
Absolutely.
They work very individually. Would you say that could work in a proprietary product organization as well?
Yes, I think that would work, and I think the ultimate goal would be to strive for ultimate independent teams. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we should strive for and try to achieve.
Would that get buy-in from management in a large, you know, German car organization, or, you know, a huge pension fund or whatever? Could you actually get buy-in from that? Don't you think management would run off scared and say, well, who's going to control then?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Should I be excited or afraid of AI? The answer is yes, it's both.
Things are going to look so different in the next couple of years. You will not be ready for the disruptions that are going to come. I'm Jeff Nielsen, host of Digital Disruption, the go-to podcast for technology leaders. Our generation's conflict, I think, is going to be emotional, not economic.
The companies that are going to win are the ones that have a couple of characteristics.
Stay ahead of the curve with Digital Disruption, available now on your favorite podcast platform.
I don't think so, okay. Because I think on the sea level, you know, you can't control the stuff. I think they would readily agree that they can't control anything. And I think if you look at owners, maybe mid-sized companies, 1,000 people or so, I think where you still have private ownership, I think they're very much into their own companies and they care about that the company really works well. So they're not their managers because they want to earn the money. They probably don't care about that. But they really do care about the people and the product they have and so on, especially in these mid-sized privately owned companies. And I think they would do anything that the companies run as independently as possible because they know they can't control 1,000 people.
But is this something that we can apply to all branches of the company, or is this specifically related to software? I mean,
Absolutely not. I was just thinking of a company where we were approached by the chief executive officer, who is the owner also, as 1,000 people. It's a production company. They build switches for cars and machines and whatever. So it's security switches, which switches and the power off, for example, in a car or an emergency room if there's a problem. And they use lean techniques in the production side. So for them, agile at the non-production areas of the company was a very natural thing because they immediately recognized the similarities and kind of like understanding, oh, Kanban on the production side and Kanban in the white collar area, that is kind of like the same thinking. And even brought the thinking on the production side closer to the thinking at the white collar part of the organization. And that chief executive really thinks that teams should be as independent as possible. That what he kind of like says he works for every day.
I like the idea, and I also I sometimes use the analogy to agile, which I find at a management level is very close to OKR, objectives and key results. Essentially, that we have for many years been measuring people's work with KPIs. But as soon as you take those KPIs and says, we're not just measuring, you know, at whatever can be measured, we actually have specific objectives, things that management or investment teams can actually say, this is what we're hoping to achieve within the next, you know, 8 months. And so that's an objective. And then you basically ask the people who are not necessarily software developers and then therefore might not, you know, be familiar with the agile concept, but you're giving the same kind of assignment, saying that if this is what we're hoping to achieve within the next 18 months, then what would you do about it? And then the people, you know, the companies, the managers, the mid-level managers, they get to get back and say, okay, if this is what we are hoping to achieve, then we would address it like this. And now it starts looking awful lot like you know, a backlog in an agile context, even though it has nothing to do with software.
Absolutely, and that's, I think, how they work. And I think that OKR and what we do with backlogs is pretty kind of like the same idea, maybe coming from a different angle, but kind of like I think the same idea. And that company, which I was just talking about, they're really using those techniques. And that, I think, is a good example. While striving for every team being independent, what they do regularly is that for getting these objectives for the company together, they really get of each part of the company people, so it's kind of like from these 1,000 people, 100 meet, and they together set the objectives they think which are right, and that gets buy-in, because when they go back in their teams, the independence of the teams is enabled because they have thought together about what are our common objectives, and when they go back to their teams, they kind of like have all that knowledge of the discussions between them, bringing back to the team. So this is what I'm thinking about when I think about alignment, enabling autonomy, as Henry Kniebeck has said, and I think that is when we talk about management for an agile way, thinking, I want to make a team independent, so what environment and what framing do I need to enable that autonomy and that independence? Because independence in an infinity space is not really possible. I have a very nice example, because we as a company, we go sailing, and we go sailing, you know, you can put the ship on the sand, and then you can go swimming outside. Mm-hmm. And no one of the ship was able to jump outside because we were all frightened that kind of like, where can I swim? And then the captain just got some tape out, and in the outside in the water, he marked the water that is safe. And everyone was jumping out. And I asked him, well, but it's all shallow here. You can swim everywhere. It's always safe because we're sitting on the ground. And he said, yes, but I need to set the frame so people are jumping into the water.
Mm-hmm. Like lemmings?
No, lemmings would just jump into the water if it's not safe, but this is kind of like, you know, here's a frame,
and I
think the frame does enable you kind of like to focus maybe a little bit.
I agree with you, but I think today, I mean, as Klaus said, we're here at the conference, right? And we've been talking a lot about Agile. We've both been presenting at the Agile track. And I'm some of the things that I find about this Agile, it's some of these cultures are kind of, they're fighting each other, right? They're fighting over the right to actually, you know, name the thing, right?
And which cultures you mean?
Agile, for instance, is, I think it's growing and growing and growing. We talked about this, the Danish labor union of
economics.
That they just, you know, called Agile to be
the
third most annoying word in among white collar workers in Denmark. Uh-huh. And I think Agile is becoming a bloated term, right? In the beginning, it started, you know, it was very, very specific. We're talking about this. We're trying to solve this very specific problems that organizations have a hard time dealing with the creative processes because they're thinking in sequential processes, yada, yada. And that was what Agile tried to solve. So then, today, 20 years later, we're still talking about Agile, but now it basically contains the entire world. I've been part of DevOps community for many years, and what I've seen in DevOps is that people are starting talking about values. They talk about DevOps culture, and suddenly I hear people who maybe not are necessarily, you know, interested in Agile, but they are interested in DevOps. They just, you know, kind of swap the tired horse for a new, you know, fresh pony, and now they're riding that, and all the values that we used to put into Agile, they just basically inherited in as said, this is DevOps. But isn't that Agile? And Agile was doing quite a bit of the same because it took over a lot of the values that were in Lean and started calling them Agile. So it's a culture war. People are just taking over each other's work, and instead of standing on the shoulders of it, they just basically claim that we created this. And this is also why I think that Agile, maybe originally it was in the context of for software development. Are we stretching it too far? It was.
No, it wasn't.
It
of
was.
Of course. I mean, the 17 signatories of the Agile Manifesto are all software developers.
Yeah, but before that we had these lean product development, and we had new product development
lean.
Game, which...
No, but that's my point exactly, Malte. Because before that we had lean.
But isn't Agile just lean for white collar work?
No.
No, so what's the
I'm giving to you. I'm saying yes, maybe. I'm just asking the question because if we have to stay with the semantics and the historical origin of what we're talking about, Agile was originally something that worked in context of software.
Software. That's true.
I'm not saying that it cannot be expanded to have any other meaning as well. It can potentially. I'm just asking the question, and it's an open question. Can we just continuously expand Agile to mean everything? And I'm asking because of this white collar worker survey that basically called Agile to be the third most annoying word in Danish workplaces among white collar workers. It gives me some kind of, you know, I'm just worried. Maybe it's a bloated term.
Well, it certainly is a bloated term because I think any term that kind of like grows when we had kind of like lean too much, maybe, then it was probably the word of that time.
I think you're
totally,
right.
Totally, and it still was very good ideas, and they weren't limited to production as we from Agile world can tell. So I think Agile works, and it doesn't come from software. So Agile, I think, is a way of working, and it was very good for software industry thing because it solved problems we had in software industry, but I think they have the same problems when they build a car. It's not different from the problems we have in the software world.
But I agree with you,
useful too, and just because we use the word because it.
I just personally find that these words are important. Maybe just trying to, you know, see, I mean, what's what, so that we don't start, you know, falling over each other's feet, basically calling things that are outside their, you know, original meaning, because then anything can, you know, start Absolutely. Meaning anything.
Yeah,
and this is how we use the language. When we say something, it can kind of, you know, encapsulate abstractions or things. I know exactly what you're saying when you say agile. I'm thinking back to extreme programming and iterative mm-hmm. and incremental. I'm thinking back to this ski resort in Utah in 2001 where 17 celebrity software developers, you know, called it, we invented agile. That was the original context for agile. Now it means anything, right? You could even say that OKR, we just agreed OKR is agile-ish, right? But then everything is contained within agile. I don't like that.
I wouldn't like that either. But that's a very good next talk to kind of like define what agile really is.
So what is agile to you guys? If you had to define agile, what is it?
Well, to me, it was a very, very important movement that started back then in late 90s, where people started seeing that software is indeed a creative process. There's a huge amount of complexity in software. And a lot of people saw that it's hard for large-sized organization to deal with it, that creative process and being productive. And then a handful of people actually came up with some pretty good suggestions to how do we address that specific problem? How do we make room for creative processes in software in large-sized organization? That was a handful of technique, and it was a very important critique of the sequential waterfall-like processes in large organizations. And to me, that's what Agile is. It's good for that.
Okay, so we were just on a 30-floor elevator ride, and that's what you told me, and I didn't know anything about Agile. I would step out of the elevator and still don't know anything about it. So you get another chance.
At what?
What is Agile? I don't know anything about it, and I'm stepping into an elevator with you. It's like, I've seen you. You're the Agile expert, right?
So
we're riding to, let's say, the 10th floor.
Okay, perfect. So I would say Agile is a handful of techniques that can be used to fit the creative process that software development is into large-size corporations who inherently think in sequential processes. So it's a way that we can make room for these creative software development processes in large organizations.
Okay. Malte?
It's interesting. My definition is that it's responsiveness of an organization or a team in a complex world where you have surprises either technically wise or market wise, and you're able to respond to that in a resilient way.
Mm-hmm. So we have
a lot of techniques to do that, and I think that resilience and responsiveness applies to software where it was really needed. And now I think hardware, for example, can really learn from that.
But I like it. I like it a lot. I like what you're saying. It's just that in my world, this is Agile inheriting a lot of the principles that comes out of Lean, where we're trying we have a problem with the market fit. I mean, Lean was invented by Toyota because they had a hard time struggling with the American car industry. They needed to be far more adaptive, right? Reading the market, you know, switching and heeding the call from the market in a swift and agile way. So this was actually about putting products to the market.
But isn't Lean much more about like improving processes and efficiency?
Well, I think Lean is actually about being swift in shifting directions and actually reading the customer's voice and heeding the call from the customer's voice. I think that was essentially what they tried to do in Toyota at the time, saying that let's try to adapt what we're doing to what people actually want to buy instead of what we think they want to buy. And in that process, they needed to basically become very swift at what they were doing, because car manufacturing is a rigid process, and a lot of the things that they do actually then came to be about how do we optimize our internal processes so that we can easily switch direction to hit the market.
Because I'm not sure that Toyota sees it the same way themselves.
They have this single minute exchange of die, which is one of their, you know, core stories in Lean. And I think it describes it really, really well. That if you want to adapt to a market, then you have a process inside your factory that takes like weeks to change a die so that you can stop doing Toyota Corollas and start doing Toyota Camrys. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take you 7 days to make that exchange. But if you can do that in just 1 hour, then you can make 4 Corollas, 18 Camrys, and then so basically what you can do is by optimizing your internal flow, making all the waste in your process go away, then you can adapt to market easily.
And I agree, and I think there are high similarities. I would add, I think Agile thought more about also that it would be a waste if you don't hit the market. So it's kind of like, well, Lean kind of like starts with we need to deliver value to the customer, so it's same as an Agile. I would say Agile is more, a little bit more looking at constantly checking, are we still having a market fit more often? But I think the main difference really is that with Agile, we started to rethinking the Lean techniques and approaching them to development. And that was where we really didn't think at the beginning, right? I remember a company where they were, again, a factory, one big hall, and the factory site was perfect lean. Even you could eat from the floor, so perfect lean. And then next to the factory site, in the same big building, they had the development teams who developed the factory lines. And you went through the door in the same building and Lean stopped at the door. You went through that and you looked at the Gantt chart and you were saying, where is the Kanban? Where is the, they called it a stand-up meeting in the factory. So where is your stand-up meeting? Which they're doing in the other room? And nothing, all gone. And I think that changed with Agile, that all the thinking that what we know had for white-collar work, I think, really to be reinvented. And that reinvention of Lean for the white-collar and especially for development work, I think that was where Lean Agile was born.
But I also think like Toyota doesn't see themselves necessarily as good product developers. Yes, they came out with the Prius at the right time, but for instance, like electrical cars, I don't think they've been really responsive in being able to react quickly. And I know they have hired in consultancies in the US to help them like improve, become agile in product development, meanwhile being world experts on Lean. So I don't think agile is just a new term for Lean.
No, I agree. I agree. But I think that to some extent, just putting Agile in the context of optimizing teams related to software development and then all those things that we need to do to optimize organizations, call it what it is. It's Lean. It's not Agile. Agile is about software development. So this is...
you made a reserved word for software.
No. I'm just putting it back into its original context. So I'm just basically skipping that. Lean inspires Agile and then Agile becomes the entire world and DevOps...
Hang on
for a second. So maybe we could just skip the whole, you know, take Lean and make it inspire Agile and then explode Agile to mean the entire world. Because a lot of the things that we're trying to do today when we are trying to optimize these large sized organizations is exactly Lean. So you don't need to call it Agile because it's just plain Lean. You don't need to go, over the bridge to fetch water. You can just call it Lean.
Yeah, but just to do the loop back, I remember probably about 5 or 8 years ago, I was in Denmark and talking to my sister-in-law, and she said, like, she's a psychologist, and she was like, oh, everything, they're trying to make everything lean. I think if you did that survey that Jeff did 8 years ago, Lean would have been in the top three.
I'm glad that you're bringing up this part topic, because I think that you're... absolutely right. So I think there's a kind of a tendency that we're just going to wear out these terms, right? Because Lean was a wore out term and it was bloated and we had to come up with something else. And then we call it Agile, which is now bloated and we have to...
Let's talk a little bit about that. Right? Why does that happen? Like, I've
Agile, for instance, I see is being attached to everything today. Like there's Agile HR, there's Agile Agile Procurement, there's Agile Project Management. Yeah. I don't know, that's an oxymoron in my world. So let's talk more about that.
Okay.
Let's take that question. So we agree that Lean at some point was not just worn off and became boring, but it actually annoyed people.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the same with Agile, as we refer to this GIF.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I agree.
Survey where people voted it as the third most annoying word in job relation. But more generally, why? Like that seems to be a pattern. Like, why does that happen?
Perfect. Good question. Actually,
well, now I need a good answer.
I think it's because obviously it's like it attracts a lot of people, right? And people find this interesting, and more people saying this is interesting, and they genuinely become inspired by it. And say, I'm inspired by Agile. I want to be part of that. And you can't shut them out and say, no, you can't be part of this. You're not software developer. You're not allowed in. So obviously, this is an open party, right? So yeah, come join the Agile party, and suddenly you have so many.
So
people.
Agile is the turd, and there's lots of flies.
I wouldn't say that.
I
would more like say like it's a small cozy festival, and because it's popular, I mean, it get a lot of spread, and then 10 years later, it's a huge festival, and it's not cozy anymore, right? So it's kind of so it's not a turret, right? But it's so we can have different analogies about it. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but I'm just saying that if we're using that analogy, that it's a small cozy festival that just grows so big that it's not small and cozy anymore, it's still good for a lot of people. They still love it. But those people who want small cozy festivals, they will have to abandon that festival and go somewhere else to find another small cozy festival. And I think actually that's what's happening. That's why, you know, Lean can still be a big thing and Agile can still be a big thing, but you also need to find the next cozy thing.
But so I think why the term gets worn out is because when you have a term that you learn is good to say, everyone starts saying it.
Exactly.
Even as a totally chaotic project, then it's going to be labeled as Agile.
So
it's just a good word. So you put a good word in front of it, and then it starts to be misused. And I think any word that becomes popular becomes misused.
Yeah, but I think this is.
We should be proud.
Yeah, I think we should, because we came up, I mean, as a community, Agile, the whole generation of Agile, and even I take DevOps into that account as well, we managed to do something that was good, and the world became better, but also, this is what I was trying to address in my speak. There's the next generation, they're not gonna be jaw-dropping impressed by Agile, right? The Zoomers that come out now, they don't even know who these, you know, Agile celebrities are, or they hate it, right? They hate it so much that it's the third most annoying word in the workplace. So they will come up with something else, and I think that we should basically see that is happening. And as an Agile DevOps generation, we should see what is it that we have that we can not impose on them. As something that they must do, but give them a good advice. We have created this, and we would hope that you will take this and stand on the shoulders of this, and then we will look, you know, interesting towards you and see what will you use it for. What will your claim to fame be? But I think the era of Agile and DevOps is over. The next generation needs to take over. Software has eaten it.
I think the next generation has to take over because that's how the world is running. But I also think that social systems change much slower than we change the terms for it.
Mm-hmm.
So even when we called Lean a day, it wasn't over. And when we call Agile a day, it won't be over, because we've learned a lot that maybe has become matter of course, but it's still good.
Yeah.
Maybe so just call it differently. We call it
apologies for the noise in the background. We are sitting here in the middle of a construction site, more or less. There's a window between us, but we can still hear it. So, yeah. Mm. Sorry, didn't want to interrupt you there, but
So if lean and agile is over, it actually helps me, because I was kind of annoyed when DevOps and everybody was talking about DevOps.
Yeah.
And stuff like,
yeah.
So whenever I ask somebody like, define DevOps to me, what is it? It's like, but that's agile. I mean, it's just so okay. And apparently I missed the DevOps train. I should have called myself DevOps coach probably for a while now. I missed that train. What's the next one? Because I'm probably not going to call myself Agile Coach for the next 15 years. Because it's dead.
I think
Dave Thomas also said like Agile is dead many years ago already.
But I think the problems or the challenges that we see now in the challenges is also one of the most inflated, bloated words among white collar workers. But I think one of the things that these next generation will look at is they will get a lot of freedom to utilize all the things that we can now do in software. So they will actually be able to put their eyes on the ball, actually do participatory design, involve the users, make software delicious, and spend much more time than we did. We said that we wanted to have the user input, but we were head buried down in Kubernetes clusters and optimizing organizations. They will actually have the time and the means and the tools to actually go out there and use serverless stacks and basically build software out of no code and low code technologies that will enable them to keep the eye on the ball. Software is supposed to make end users happy, and they can address the end user problem. They don't have to write Kubernetes clusters setups or whatever. It's gone. It's over. You can just buy that from Google. You don't have to do it yourself.
Yes, so I have a long list of questions I could have asked you guys still, right? But yeah. I think we're getting to an end of this interview. Mm. So thanks very much for your time.
Thank you for hosting it.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you, Alton.
Yeah, thank Lars for having the discussions. Yeah. And if you want to watch 10 more hours of this, come visit us.
Perfect. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the GoTo Podcast. Head over to gotopia.tech to discover lots more content from the brightest minds in software development.